Never. Brother Maurice Montgomery found out that I was moving to New Jersey. Somebody told him, and he said, "Oh, that's grace, ain't it?" Well, I'm so happy to be here in person. I say it that way because Wednesday nights, generally, my family and I, we'll watch Brother Todd or Brother Gabe Stoniker, and then since you guys are an hour behind, we'll flip over and watch you on the live stream. So I feel like I've been here, but just not in person, you know. So it's good to be here. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8. I'm going to preach from a passage that every believer finds great comfort in. And this is one of our favorite passages. We're all familiar with it. Romans 8, verse 28. "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. And whom he called, them he also justified. And whom he justified, them he also glorified. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us?" I like how this passage starts with the word and we know. In addition to all the great comforting things that Paul told us in this chapter, no condemnation, the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made us free from the law of sin and death. The Spirit quickens us so that we don't have to look to our flesh at all or depend on our flesh at all. The Spirit bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And if children, then heirs and joint heirs with Christ. The Spirit even teaches us how to pray and makes us pray according to God's will. And we know. In addition to all that, we know. All things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. We know this. We know it because we see it in God's word. We can read in God's word how God is sovereign to bring things to pass according to his purpose. We know it in the court of our conscience because God has taught us in our hearts. And we know this by experience. The scripture says we glory in tribulations also, knowing that tribulation worketh patience, and patience experience, and experience hope. And hope maketh not ashamed, because the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts. We know this. We know this. Let me sum it up for you. We know that God is holy and powerful and wise to work all things together in providence to save his people exactly according to his eternal purpose. Amen. First of all, providence is God working what God purposed from eternity. Providence is God working his eternal purpose in everything that comes to pass. That's what we read here in verse 28. We know that all things work together for good to them who are to them that love God, to them who are the called according to his purpose. All things includes everything. Everything. That means our fall into sin and into death in Adam. That didn't surprise God. That was not something that took God by surprise. That was purposed from the beginning, so that God could glorify the last Adam, by whose obedience we're made the righteousness of God. affliction, temptation, desertion, betrayal, all things are worked together for the good of His people. Whether it's good or bad, whether it's happy or sad, whether it's great or small. I want to say this respectfully and sympathetically. I know any believer that is suffering, whatever we're suffering at any time, it's nothing compared to what we've done to our God and how we've sinned against Him. And yet what He's doing for us, even if we suffer, is for our good. It's for our good. To wean us from this world and to point us to Him and teach us that He's all our salvation. It's always for our good. And that's our spiritual good He's talking about. It may not appear to us that it's for good, but we're kind of short-sighted, aren't we? But everything God is doing, it's for the spiritual good of His people. You hear preachers, you know, who will say that when somebody's poor or they're in some kind of trial, or then they don't have enough faith. That's the problem. No, that's not the problem. God has poor people in this world that He made poor. God has people who have disease that God gave the disease. God has people in this world who suffer trials and afflictions and persecutions, even death, and God gave it to them. We're called not only to believe on Him, but to suffer for His name's sake. The Lord God is a sun and a shield. The Lord will give grace and glory, and no good thing will He withhold from them that walk uprightly. It's always for our good. There shall no evil happen to the just. You think about that statement. Sometimes it appears like evil is happening to the just, but it's not. It's for our good, because no evil shall happen to the just. That's God's promise. You think of everything that happened to Joseph. Joseph's brothers rejected him. His own family rejected him. Threw him in that pit. And then they sold him into slavery. He gets taken off way down in Egypt. Thrown in jail. And then he ends up being exalted to be Pharaoh's second in command. And what did he say? He said to his brothers, "You meant it for evil, but God meant it for good." Every bit of that was for the good of Joseph and for the good of his family. Adam plunged the whole human race into sin. And yet, we're told in Romans 5, Adam is a figure of Him that was to come. Just like Adam represented all his people, and by His disobedience made us sin, Christ represented all His people, and by His obedience made us righteous.
Amen.
The worst act in human history. We all like to, every generation I think thinks that we're living in the worst time that's ever been. But the worst act that ever happened in human history is when we crucified the Lord of glory. And yet the scriptures tell us that God was working all things together for good. All things together for good. He said, both Herod and Pontius Pilate with the Gentiles and the people of Israel were gathered together. He's working all things together for good, wasn't He? To do whatsoever thy hand and thy counsel determined before to be done. One of my favorite verses of Scripture is the psalm that says, "Surely the wrath of man shall praise thee, and the remainder thereof shalt thou restrain." Doesn't that comfort you? If it comes to pass, and it's wrath from man, and all the wrath is from us, it's from sinners. But if it comes to pass, it's glorifying God. And there's a lot more that could come to pass, but God won't allow it.
Amen.
Because it doesn't glorify Him. God is working all things together for good. But now listen, He's only doing this for a particular people. He says he's doing this to them that love God, to them who are the called. The sinner who passes his entire life hates God, hates Christ, hates his gospel, hates his people. God is not doing anything for that man. He didn't interrupt him. He gave the man what he wanted. The man wanted his will, and he gave it to him. But for all those who God interrupts and arrests and draws to him, God is working good. It says there, to them that love God, and if he left it there, everybody would apply that to themselves. Because everybody in this world says, oh, I love God. Men love the God that they imagine. They love the God that needs them to help them out. But what about this God? He qualified who it is that loves God. They are the called of God, the ones God calls. We have to have God to call us. We have to have God to put a new heart within us and put love within our hearts, or we won't love God or our brethren.
Amen.
This is of God. Well, how is it that God works all things together for the good of his people? How is it that this is so? Look at the end of verse 28. According to his eternal purpose. That's how. It's according to his purpose. There's no such thing as chance or fate or luck. We should just erase those from our vocabulary. There's no such thing as that. Everything that comes to pass in providence is according to God's eternal purpose. Everything. Let's look at Isaiah 14 together. Verse 24 says, the Lord of hosts has sworn. He's sworn. Now, he can swear by no greater. He's sworn, and he says, surely, as I have thought. There's the purpose of God. As God has thought. As I have thought, so shall it come to pass. As I have purposed, so shall it stand. Look at verse 27. For the Lord of hosts hath purposed, and who shall disannul it? And his hand is stretched out, and who shall turn it back? Have you and I ever thought of anything and it come to pass? It doesn't matter what I've ever thought about or planned or purposed and it come to pass. It's never come to pass perfectly. There's always something I would have done a little different, you know. Not God. Whatever God purposed, he brings it to pass. Exactly. Well, look at this purpose of God. This is his purpose. This is God declaring the end from the beginning. This is God before the world was made. It says, whom he did foreknow. It doesn't say what. It says, whom he did foreknow. God's foreknowing is not God foreknowing that some would believe on him. If that were so, we wouldn't need the rest of this verse. God wouldn't have to predestinate us, and God wouldn't have to call us if he foreknew who would believe on him. But God, in eternity past, foreknew his people with an eternal, everlasting love.
Amen.
He knew his people as his choice people. He foreordained his people to eternal life. The scripture says of Christ, verily, he was foreordained before the foundation of the world, but manifest in these last times for you. And that word foreordained is the same word in our text. Foreknown, foreordained. God's purpose involved determining our end from the beginning. That was God's purpose. He determined our end, our destination, from the beginning. He says, whom he foreknew, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his son. Believers love predestination because it gives our Lord Jesus Christ all preeminence. That's the purpose of it.
Amen.
That's the purpose of it, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Colossians 1:18 says he's the head of the body, the church, who's the beginning. He's the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. And this is God's purpose in predestinating us to be conformed to his image, that he might have all preeminence, that we might come to him in glory in him alone. That's his purpose. And we've obtained something due to that too. It says, and in him we have obtained an inheritance, being predestinated according to the purpose of him who worketh all things after the counsel of his own will. Before the world was made according to God's purpose, it says here in verse 30, moreover, whom he did predestinate, them he also called. Now, I want to remind you that he's talking about God's purpose. He's talking about in eternity, what God did. The word called here means named. It means made to bear a name. God called all his people from eternity. He made us bear his name from eternity in Christ Jesus before as yet we ever came forth. Look at 2 Timothy. You're very familiar with it, but maybe there'd be somebody that's not. Let's look at 2 Timothy chapter 1. It says here, God hath saved us and called us with a holy calling. This is the calling we're talking about. Not according to our works, but according to his own purpose and grace, which was given us in Christ Jesus before the world began. Before the world began. Look at Galatians 4. We see it again over here. He said in Galatians 4, verse 4, when the fullness of time was come, God sent forth his Son, made of a woman, made under the law, to redeem them that were under the law, that we might receive the adoption of sons. And because you are sons, he had already called us before he called us. Because you are sons, he sent forth the Spirit of his Son into your heart. He had already called us before he called us. Since he purposed it, I love to think about this, that God is able to work all things together for good, to bring his people under the sound of the gospel, and at his appointed time, send forth the Holy Spirit and give us life. Amen. If God can do that, we shouldn't worry about anything else. If he can take a rebel and bring that rebel under the sound of his gospel and give him a new heart, and bring him down to the feet of Christ, then we shouldn't worry about anything else at all. And the sure certain result is we come to him through faith in Christ, crying, Abba, Father. Abba, Father. He said, Peter said, it's all so that you should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of darkness into his marvelous light. In time, He not only called us in his purpose, but in time, he works that purpose. He calls us effectually to him, and he always succeeds in it. He always succeeds in it. Now, when you read these things, are you noticing how that it's God who works everything? When you read this passage, there's nothing in here that we're working. God's working it all from his purpose in eternity to bringing it to pass in providence. God's doing every bit of it. It's he. He's doing it all. Verse 30, it says, in whom he called, them he also justified. Them he also justified. Whenever God, in eternity, when he blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ, according as he chose us in him, part of those spiritual blessings were being justified. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, the scripture says of him, that he's the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Whenever our Lord Jesus entered into covenant to come forth and shed his blood and justify his people, God never looked to us, he looked to Christ.
Amen.
And in the Lord Jesus Christ, right then, he became the Lamb slain from the foundation of the world. And there was no possibility that it wouldn't come to pass. No possibility whatsoever. God says, declaring the end from the beginning and from ancient times, the things that are not yet done, saying, my counsel shall stand. I will do all my pleasure. Calling a man from a far country, the executed my counsel from a far country. You know who Cyrus pictured? Our Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
He called him to execute his counsel from a far country. God said, I've spoken it, I'll bring it to pass. I purposed it, I'll do it. And he trusted Christ. He put the whole thing in the work of our Redeemer, in the hands of our Redeemer, the whole work. And the Lord Jesus Christ has been accomplishing this work ever since. You know, when you read the Old Testament and you come across scriptures and God is speaking with a sinner, the scriptures tells us there's one mediator between God and man. It's the man, Christ Jesus. He's the one talking. He's the one that has been working this work from the beginning, ever since the beginning. So because he did this in eternity, in the fullness of time, he came forth to do whatever God's hand and counsel determined before to be done. He came forth and he did this. And he shed his blood on Calvary's cross and he justified everybody for whom he died. He redeemed us. He put away our sin. And he justified his people on the cross. And in time, when he does call us, he reveals in the court of our conscience that he's justified us. Makes us to know that we're just before God. You think about what that means. You know, that means not only can you never break the law, you have never broken the law. Isn't that amazing? Men will say, well, that'll lead sinners to sin. You can't preach that. That won't lead sinners to sin. Do you see what we're saying here? Do you see what God is telling us? How surely and certainly he works in the heart of his people and works all things together for his people. His people aren't going to take advantage of that and sin because God's working in them and he's not going to allow it. People who want to sin might take advantage of it, but not God's people. He makes us to see we're just before him. Look at this last thing. It says, in whom he justified, them he also glorified. This one gives me a little trouble. I can just wade a little bit in this because I don't know much about this. But I do know, let's look at John 17. I do know this took place in eternity. John 17:5, when our Lord was praying to the Father, he said, now, O Father, glorify thou me with thine own self, with the glory which I had with thee before the world was. That glory he's speaking about here is the glory of being the only mediator. It's the glory God gave to him when he trusted this whole work into his hands and glorified him as being the only one who would work out this salvation for his people and reconcile his people to God and bring us to God spotless without blame. He glorified the Son. And we were in him when he did that. All his people were in him when he glorified the Son. And all his people were trusted to the Son. And in the purpose of God, he glorified us even then. And then Christ came forth. And he worked all this work for his people. And one day, we're going to be glorified together with him. We're going to be conformed to His image. And we're going to be made in His likeness perfectly. Perfectly. He's begun the work by creating in us a new man that's of His creating. Scripture says, put off the old man with his deeds, which are corrupt according to the deceitful lust. And the Spirit of God makes us put on the new man, which after God is created in righteousness and true holiness. And we put on this new man. This is a work of Christ. It's not a work of us. He gets the glory for this. But when we get to glory, and you don't read anything either of that new spirit, nothing has to be done to it. When you die, you go directly to be with the Lord. Nothing has to be amended or corrected or fixed on it, because it's created anew by Christ. You go to be with the Lord, and then we'll have a new body. We'll drop these bodies of death like we've always wanted to since God called us. And we won't have this plague of sin anymore. We won't have this old nature. We won't have these broken bodies. We'll have a new body. Perfectly conformed to the image of Christ. I don't know what that'll be like, but it's going to be good. I know that. It's going to be good. Well, when we look at these things, brethren, we should realize that we don't have anything to worry about. We really don't. We don't have anything to make us doubt. Our God is really in the heavens. He really is doing whatsoever He pleased. I went to a bank whenever we were trying to buy our building, and I messed up. I went to a banker who was religious, and he started quizzing me about our church, and he wanted to know what committee is watching over the elders, and what committee is watching over me, and all these things. And I said, we don't have any of that. And he said, well, who keeps people in line? I said, God does. I said, you know, the scriptures say God is actually working in His people, and he makes His people will and do His good pleasure. That's what He does. And he just couldn't grasp that. Could not grasp that. But it's true, brethren. This religious world does not believe that God is working in His people both to will and do of His good pleasure. They don't believe that. Whenever Paul said there, work out your own salvation, if you'll go back and look right before that, in the chapter right before that, he spoke of all your affairs. And that word affairs is the same word as translated salvation. What he's saying is in all your affairs with one another, work out everything in all these affairs with fear and trembling, knowing God's right there in your midst. He's in your brethren. He's in your midst. And He's the one working both to will and do of His good pleasure. I can't get mad at somebody. I can't get upset with my brother. God's working. He's working. He's working. I can pray for him, and I can trust God to work in him. But there's no need to worry, no need to doubt, because God's going to work His good pleasure. You can bank on that. The Spirit of God guarantees us this, that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them who are the called according to God's purpose.
Amen.
Thank you.